Welcome to the I Can Relate podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Miller. On this podcast, we talk to relatable and amazing people with real life struggles and joys, sharing the goodness of God. Each episode is designed to bring encouragement to your life. So make sure you subscribe today and share with a friend who might need the same encouragement. Today, you're listening to episode 12, and I have my friend, Jenny Lohman, on the podcast today. She's wife to Matt, mom to four, and she's a pastor's wife in St. Louis, Missouri, City Light Baptist Church. And in her words, she is a chaos coordinator, joy contributor, and passionate about spreading the hope of the gospel for when you're sticky, stressed, and annoyed to death. I want to welcome my friend, Jenny Lohman, to the podcast. How are you?
Hey, thanks for coming on. I'm so happy to be here and to talk with you.
Good. Thank you so much, really, for joining me on the podcast. And I'm really excited about the topic that we're going to talk about, which is the gospel and what it is and how it is lived out in the Christian life. And I just want to ask my listeners, because I think this is kind of going to be your premise, kind of like the question that a lot of women can relate to. And I think it's kind of what you're going to be talking about, but is finding yourself, are you finding yourself striving or resting in Christ? And what we believe the Bible says about the gospel will determine how we live as a Christian. Let's just talk about what is the gospel.
It has been the gospel that has transformed my thinking over the past couple years. As I've come to understand that the gospel is not just part of the solution for my life, but it is the only answer. The gospel is understanding the exchange that happened between me and Jesus, that Jesus came and put on human flesh and that he became sin for us. How? By sinning? No, by putting our sin on himself. And so therefore, we could be made righteous. How? By doing righteous things? No, by putting the righteousness of Jesus Christ on me. So of course, we understand that the gospel is that Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself and that all we have to do is trust that Jesus plus nothing, and that that faith allows me to receive the gift of salvation, that I recognize that it's not any work of my own, that there is absolutely no way that I can transform my DNA as a sinner, that I'm so hardwired to sin. It is an impossibility for me to measure up to the perfection of God, as it says in Romans 3:23. And so Jesus came and did it for me. Okay. So we believe, as the gospel relates to salvation, Jesus is enough. The gospel is Christ in me. Mm-hmm. And that I already have, because I have Christ in me, I have absolutely everything that I need at any given moment. That if I needed it, I have it. If I don't have it right now, God doesn't want me to have it right now. And he is wanting to teach me of his sufficiency. Right. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I lack nothing. So the gospel is Christ in me. And so when I say that, okay, that's where it turns into a sleeper. And this is where it's so important that, you know, first of all, if there's anybody listening and you are like, I don't know that exchange has ever happened. I'm not sure. Like I know, I believe in God, but I don't know. Like, I feel like when I'm talking, is he really listening? I feel like I just can't get to him. And that's because our sin separates us from God. And if you haven't come to a place where you have trusted Jesus alone as your savior, you can email me at jennylohman@gmail.com. You can look me up on Facebook. You can talk to Becky. But it would be my privilege to have that ministry of reconciliation and help you introduce you to Jesus as your savior. But then, you know, there are so many women who are Christians who pass over these phrases in the New Testament, all through the New Testament. And it's like they're throwaway phrases: in Christ, through Christ, in Christ, through the knowledge of Christ. We throw them away. And what we don't understand is that there are never any verbs without the subject of Jesus Christ. There's never any go do this without understanding it's Christ and me doing it. Right. So I'm joined together with Christ, my unity with Christ, Romans 6:5, planted together in the likeness of his death, also in the likeness of his resurrection. So at the moment of my salvation, something supernatural that even Paul could not explain. So that's where it's a mystery. It's a supernatural thing to come to understand this, but I'm joined together with Christ and he lives in me and my part is to die. And so, okay, that was an 84 sentence answer. Where should I go with this now, Becky?
Well, and I love that because the Bible says for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And a lot of times we try to find what we need in things that we do, but again, and this is something even God is continually teaching me. I think he's continually teaching everybody this, is that our need is only in him. So my question is, how do we as believers live out the gospel?
So the Bible says that as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. It says in Colossians. Mm-hmm. And so how did we trust Christ? We believed that he was enough. And so how do we walk with Christ? We believe that he is enough. How do we live out the gospel? The gospel is simply believing that God's love and grace through Jesus plus nothing is enough. So you know, we talk about those moments when we're frustrated, when we're full of fear, when we're full of anxiety, when we are full of anger. Where those things that when we put our kids to bed at night, even if you don't have kids, you can look back over the course of your day and you have regrets about the way that you reacted to pain as you were confronted with pain in your life. And so, even though we have salvation and we're promised a home in heaven one day, we're left on an earth that is broken and full of pain, constant pain, emotional pain, irritations, inconveniences, frustrating our human efficiency. I mean, constant pain. And motherhood is like inviting pain into your life. And that sounds terrible. I think that the classic sort of Christian womanhood rhetoric is, this is wonderful and we love our families. But the reality is, of course I love my family. And of course I want to have joy and peace, but there's a ton of pain. So what does it mean to live out the gospel? At every single moment when I am faced with pain, I will either seek to control my circumstances to try to get what it is that I'm thinking I'm needing in that moment, or I will come back to resting in the sufficiency of Christ. Sin is going away from God to get our needs met. And when we're confronted with pain, it suddenly doesn't feel like God's enough. And so we immediately leave, go away from God, and try to get enough. And so at every turn, when our emotions are alerting us to the fact that we are seeking something other than God, when we are having an extreme emotion, there is something. So my kids, I'll just say, this is how I'm teaching my kids to live out the gospel. Okay. So, I have sort of a diagram on my fridge. But I'll say, okay,
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but just so they understand the ages of your children.
Sure. Yeah. So my oldest is 11 and then 9. And the four-year-olds,
twins.
yes. And the girls, it's just kind of planting seeds at this point, but yeah, sure. But the 11-year-old and the 9-year-old, okay, so they're mad about something, and I'll take them over to my refrigerator, which is my office, and I'll say, okay, you are over here. Obviously I can't show the diagram here, but just in your mind to imagine you're over here away from God, you're not abiding, and you are in squiggly line land. Okay. So you need to right now stop and say, what is it that I think I'm needing in addition to God? And I do this for myself so many times throughout the day. So I'll be frustrated and I will say out loud, I will speak the truth of the gospel. I will say, Jesus, you're enough for me right now. I do not need to have people like me. right now. I feel terrible right now because I know that that person doesn't like me, or I came across like an idiot or whatever. And I don't need to have a perfect house. I feel like my house right now needs a sign on it that says, this house is not an accurate reflection of my work ethic, taste, style, or anything. Because, like, you know, I don't need my house to be perfect and look like a magazine. I don't need to have everything turn out the way that I need it to turn out. Jesus, you're enough right now. And then how am I living out the gospel? I die to what it is that I'm seeking after. And because I can't reform the old man, he just needs to be crucified. I am crucified with Christ. You just need to kill that old man. I mean, I need to die. It needs to die. You can't bring it. You can't make it better. You cannot fix your flesh with flesh. I would love to talk about that, but goodness, we only have, you know, a few minutes. But so I will say, I'm going to die. And now, Jesus, you live in me. So here I am in the middle of this hard thing. I don't have the love in me that I is necessary to parent this child in a gentle way. So Jesus, you be gentle in me, your gentleness in me. And my faith in the fact that I'm united with Christ turns into the function of gentleness. Faith turns the facts into function. Now, can I go back to fixing flesh with flesh? Can I say what the alternative is? Do I have a second to say that?
Yes, please do.
So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I'm trying to lay my eyes on the verse real quick. 2 Corinthians 10:4, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So what we do though is the flesh has strength. Okay. So my flesh can empower me to do a ton of stuff. And if the end goal is just to be nice to my family, or just to get off the couch and work out, or just to do all the Christian things, I don't know, make your lists, you know, if that was the end goal, then God wouldn't care how we went about it. Just go be better, please. Just pick a religion and just please stop being a loser. Okay. So if that was the end goal, then just fix the flesh with flesh. And so what we do is we make actionable, practical lists. We want tips and tricks and helpful hints. We want, so here's an example, my son vacuuming. Okay. He was vacuuming and he was angry while vacuuming and he was annoyed that he had to vacuum. He was annoyed that the chairs wouldn't move themselves. It was a clumsy job. It was a horrible job. He hated it. And he was thrashing around and he was just annoyed. He's 11. And I said, son, okay, so here's a point. I could either help him fix his flesh with flesh, or I could fix it with the gospel and he could die and Jesus could do it. So if I fix the flesh with flesh, I would say carnal weapons, right? Okay, I would say, son, what you need to do is whistle while you work. Okay, or no, you know, if you'll move the chairs first, here's a tip. Now, is there anything wrong with tips? Of course not. But if we are achieving everything only through these carnal weapons, and this human effort, this man-centered, works-based sanctification where it's all us, and we don't understand that the end goal is not for us just to be nice while vacuuming. The end goal is to abide in Christ in me. God designed me to be with him. So I said to my son, you need to stop and let Jesus do the vacuuming because you don't have the love in you to do the vacuuming right now. Then I can suggest, you know what, if Jesus was vacuuming, he might whistle while he works. If Jesus is vacuuming, he might think through, you know, let's move the chairs first. Or I could step in and be Jesus to my son and help him move the chairs. But we try to fix flesh with flesh. And when we fix it with the gospel, now that's, I have had so many conversations about this with believers, and I can tell when people just glaze over or they go, that's not practical. Or, okay, but when is the practical part coming? Okay, can we just tie this up with a little bow and tell me my first, you know, three things that I can apply to my life? This answer is not a formula.
Right.
It is a person.
Right.
It is a person. It is Jesus who rescues us from our idolatry, from needing things other than him and reminding us, no, I am enough. Rest in me and stay. Here's a really powerful verse, 2 Corinthians 4:7. that illustrates all that what I just said illustrates this scripture so well. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. So it's not me, it's Christ. And that is literally everything. That's everything.
Yeah.
Okay. That was another 84 paragraphs. Okay.
No, it was good. And I think too, I mean, we're wrestling as Christians with our flesh, and but we have the power of God. And a lot of times we don't tap into it. We just try to, let me just get by and let me get over how I feel right now. Because the enemy is going to attack. And we are going to have a moment. We are going to battle the flesh. But if you can go back and stop your mind, or the Holy Spirit stop your mind, you know, God, like we're talking about, not us. I understand that. But meaning we retrain and say, no, my mind, I have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
And I'm going to go back to the Word of God. And the Word is going to defeat this fleshly feeling. That really, in a sense, if we let this flesh get a hold, we become like, we feel powerless, right? But that's the enemy. And we really actually have the power because we have the Lord Christ in me, like you say, and as the Word says, to defeat the enemy in that moment. And I think it's just taking our mind and returning it to the Word of God.
Yes. And even as you said that, so Romans 1:17, the Romans is an entire, oh my goodness, gorgeous letter written, a rich, rich explanation of the gospel written for believers. Okay. So like it was written for believers, for them to come to understand the gospel. And the theme of the whole book is found in Romans 1:17, where it says the just shall live by faith. Right. And what you just said, he was actually quoting from Habakkuk, where the Israelites just were in a really, really time of political unrest in their nation, and they just felt like they were just going to die, and it was a terrible time. And you know, the prophet said to them, "I know that you feel like you are not going to make it, but it is going to be by faith, just moment by moment, resting and trusting in Christ." And so what does faith look like? Okay, so because we try to put meat on those bones. And I just think about as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So, you know, these people were healed when they just looked at this rod. Okay, so think about this, Becky. Now you and I are looking at each other, and I know that this podcast is not going to be visual. It's going to be audio. But if you will just look at my nose, okay? Okay, you looking at my nose? Okay.
Yeah.
Now look at my eye.
And we're on a Zoom call, everyone.
Yeah. Look at my nose. Now look at my eye. Now, for anyone listening, look at the floor and now look at the ceiling. That simple choice to look didn't take any brilliance, any high IQ, any ability, any great understanding. It simply took a willingness and a desire to do so, to stop looking in yourself to find fulfillment and to repent. That's what true repentance is. And to look at Christ for your sufficiency. And every single time that you make that faith choice, there's nothing meritorious about the outstretched hand of a drowning man. There is nothing meritorious about a person looking from the ceiling to the ground. Oh, wow. You did such a good job on that. That has nothing to do with you. It has, and even the ability to do that in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says that even the faith is a gift from God, even the ability to do that. And so that is our sanctification. That is us escaping the corruption, as it says in 2 Peter, that's the only way out from all of these tangled messes that we make for ourselves. It is not a formula. It is a person looking to him and resting and not striving in our own strength. And only you will know if you're resting or you're striving, because the outward display may be exactly the same. I could be running around my house, chirping like a little, you know, June Cleaver, serving, but doing that because I think I need to do that in order to get people to like me or to create heaven on earth because it's so painful and I want everything to go just a certain way. Or if I'm just resting in the fact that God is enough and now I'm motivated by love to love my family. You know, I don't have to do any of this. I'm held. I'm secure.
What does true spiritual victory look like? And then I think we kind of already touched on this. What does the Bible say about obtaining that victory?
The gospel was a plan that God made where we are kept by his power. We did nothing to get it. We do nothing to keep it. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, who are kept by the power of God, not by the power of Becky, not by the power of Jenny. So we are held secure in this gospel. We are not under the law, which ultimately you could sum up the whole law to say, don't leave me. You know, there's 613 laws in the Old Testament, but ultimately it was all to show us that we were incapable of doing it, because we are leavers by nature. So leavers, sinners are leavers who go away from God to get their needs met. So God fulfilled, sent Jesus Christ, put on human flesh, and he 100% kept that law. So, and designed this beautiful gospel where we cannot leave God, where he won the victory. Our old man has been delivered the death blow, but he is long at dying. That's a huge chunk of studying Romans 5 and Romans 6, which is like, wait, I thought the old man was dead, but we're still supposed to crucify it. Okay, so my victory has already been given to me. All that is left is for my faith to take that fact and turn it into function and to be victorious. It's like, cue the confetti, take a victory lap. You already have the victory. It is be in order to do. It is not do in order to be. And I know that's a thinker. I know you got to write that one down and think about it, but it is be in order to do. It is kill the old man, let Christ live in me. So 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us victory. And here's one of those phrases that we love to just throw away because we rattled them off in Sunday school, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, I'm going to give you victory when you accomplish your list. And when you get farther removed from that 10 pounds that you finally got off your sorry self, and now now you're 3 months later and finally we can call this victory. I mean, but goodness, didn't think you were ever going to get there. We already have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ because he won the victory. He lives in us. Romans 8:37 says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Man, read the whole New Testament and get a highlighter in your hand, get a new Bible if you have to, and highlight every phrase that says in Christ, through Christ. And it will blow your mind because now you'll see, oh, there was never any verbs without the subject. He's not telling me to do it. He's saying, Christ do it. All it's left for me to do is surrender and die and let him do it. It's letting, it's yielding, it's arresting. So what does victory look like? It does not look like a perfectly clean house and abs. Okay. Victory is Christ in me. And you know what? I can't judge that on anybody else. I can't walk around and see, oh, she's in victory and she's not.
Right.
Because only I'm going to know, you know, if I even have the victory. It is not a super church lady, Christian, I do everything right. That's not victory, because remember, the end goal is not just to vacuum nicely. The end goal is to come to Christ. The end goal is not just to get off the couch. God's desire, what does victory look like? God's ultimate desire for you is not just to change you or to get you to stop thinking you're a loser. Stop it. Think better about yourself. That's not God's ultimate goal for us. God's ultimate goal for us is to bring us back to his design, which is in relationship with him. John 15, the whole beautiful chapter, that is a picture of God's purpose for us and what he desires for us in our life, resting in him, because without him, we can do nothing. Now, it might look like something. We might get the vacuuming done. We didn't really get anything done because it wasn't the ultimate purpose. And so the Christian life, victory, is not a changed life. It is an exchanged life. Yeah, it is Christ in me. And you know what? It's a mystery. And I say that, and then immediately I know the tendency to go, but okay. So that means actionable list. I'll say it again. I said it earlier, but the solution is never a formula. It is a person, and lists are fine. It's wonderful to intentionally love, to set out to intentionally love, but the list is the verbs. And you can't even do the list without Christ. You can't even set out to do anything amazing. Without him, you can do nothing, John 15:5. I begged God in my sticky messes to say, God, I don't know how to get victory. Like, I cannot be nice to these people. They're driving me insane. and I am a perfectionist. And I'm terrified of what people think of me and all of these horrible tendencies. I always have to be right, all of these things, and begging God. And he showed me in this way for my life. But so many people, anyone that doesn't even have the full word of God translated in their language can understand the experiential grace of God and can be living this out in their life. My brain is the size of a crumb. And God is still so gracious to be, and he's going to continue to be gracious to reveal things about the gospel to me that are just blowing my mind. But it's not even about what I understand. It's about what I'm using, am I going to sit and say Christ in me and then still chew all my kids' heads off? Or do I have resurrection power and Christ's love in me to let that old Jenny die, and be truly transformed? By the power of Christ. So
yeah, by the power of Christ. And that's so good, really. Just that last little bit there, the whole thing was good, but that last little bit, just you being real and sharing your heart that, and I, one thing I want to point out is that you went to God and you said, I can't help me. And I think that when we humble ourselves and we realize that we have a problem, that we're not gaining the victory that God has already, it's waiting there for us, right?
Yeah.
It's already there for us to obtain. We're not gaining that victory because we're striving and we're not resting in Christ, and we're not asking him either for help. We're not humbling ourselves to really want to get over it, to really want his wisdom.
Yeah.
So we just go, well, I guess this is just how it's going to be.
Ultimately, we are so prone to self-effort that we just think, no, I've got to fix this. And we even come to God and think, I know, Lord, I know what I need to do. I know you're disappointed in me, but here I come, Lord. I'm coming. Here I go. I'm going to try so hard. Are you watching? And so that's the point where I think so many times as believers, even our best efforts, we think, so you said earlier, I just was thinking of the verse. You said we have this power, but we don't tap into it. And the verse is that we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. Yeah. We don't use this power. We have something that looks like it, but it's not really Christ in us. And one day we're going to stand before God, and it's only going to be the stuff that we did in faith, believing that he was enough and that it was Christ in us that we're going to get gold, silver, and precious stones for. And then it's going to go right back at his feet because it was really him that did it anyway. So not even our reward.
Yeah.
We're fighting from victory and not for victory.
Right.
Understanding victory. It's so important. People say, how do I get past this? How do I get past this struggle? Okay. Because victory must mean that I am done fighting this and I'm just in the place where it doesn't bother me anymore. And I'm not tempted with this anymore. And the problem with that is that people are confusing sanctification with glorification. Okay. Because the only way to really get past it is to die. And that sounds that's honestly, because then you'll be in heaven where the constant experience of feeling like your needs are met is restored and your faith will be made sight. And the one thing you're not going to need in heaven is your faith. And so that's glorification, going to heaven where we're not confronted with pain. Here on this earth, we are, having to rest in Jesus as often as we are confronted with pain. And that could mean that we, enter church resting, abiding. Okay, Lord, I'm about to enter church and there are annoying people here. There are people that are going to be draining here. There are people that have hurt me here. I'm going to enter through these doors and I'm going to rest in your love in me, your grace supplied to me, your comfort. I'm going to go in here and I'm going to love as you are going to love in me. Okay. Then you can be in a conversation with someone and four times over the course of that conversation, you've wandered off away from God, found yourself striving, wanting to poke your eyeballs out, wanting to find a way to manipulate and get out of that conversation or one-up them or control them and try to point out all of their flaws and try to, you know, be the one to shine a light on all of their depravity. And in that conversation, you could 4 or 5 or 12 times come back to the sufficiency of Christ. That's what victory looks like. It is not a one and done, do these things and then you will be victorious. Or after, I used to think after a long while, it will just come more naturally to me. Maybe when I'm 90, I'll be nicer. But I mean, I'm not going to count on it, because so far my Christian experience has been is that every single time I'm confronted with pain, I go off and think, I got to get something other than God right now in order to get my need met. I need to get this person to shut up. I need to avoid this painful situation. You know, I'm using the example of someone in church or walking into church and facing the pain of interacting with people, but you could replace that with literally anything.
Right.
And every single time you're confronted with pain, you come back to resting Christ's love in me. So I will say this too, do not confuse victory with being pain-free, because it says, and I don't have the scripture right off the tip of my tongue, but it's in Corinthians where it says that we may be able to bear it. So he's talking about bearing the pain, but then in 2 Peter, it says escaping the corruption. So we're not going to be able to escape the pain. It could mean resting while working. You could be in the middle of a squat hold in a workout and it burns and you're resting in Christ's strength. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's not a resting, put your feet up, I'm not working anymore, victory, woo, give me a poolside umbrella drink. It is resting while working. God, Jesus was not scolding Martha for working. He was admonishing her for not resting while she was working. She was so hell-bent on getting everybody to notice her, on getting everything to be fair, on getting everybody to appreciate her, on the workload being equal. And Jesus said, one thing is needful. Mary chose it. Being with me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that's what victory looks like, is being with Christ. And it's a moment by moment. It's not something you do in the morning and then you're done. It's not something you do on Sundays and then you checked it off your list. You got your wind in your sail for the week and it'll die down. It is a moment by moment by moment. And you're on a paycheck to paycheck basis with the grace of God. You will not get enough for 10 minutes from now. You only have enough for right now. And that's what victory looks like. It's not glorification. It's not pain-free. It is resting in Jesus in the midst of the pain over and over and over and over and over and over 400 million times in a day. And you know, we have Christ's strength in us to deal with. He meets our needs in an environment of chaos. And the fact that it doesn't feel like he's meeting our needs, what is faith even for? What is faith even for? If we could see it, if it felt like our needs were met, then it wouldn't be faith. We are living by faith. That is victory. Through faith, victory in our Lord Jesus Christ, and not in ourselves. You will never see the verb without the subject. You will never see the imperative without the indicative. Those are big words, but you will never see go do this without understanding Jesus does it. So yes. And I just so appreciate the opportunity to just share that, because I see so many women on a constant treadmill of pressure and fear, and they're so stressed out. And then they put on the face. We live in an Instagram society where we just make it look good. And I'm so, so passionate about sharing just these transformational truths. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so these truths, we are not transformed by the doing of our strength, by the reorganization of our shoes. I mean, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so I'm passionate about encouraging women in that. So thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to fill my guts on that.
Thank you so much for sharing your passion and just what God has worked in your life, and a continual work, as you said, you know, it's a minute by minute thing. She is just taking the truths of what God has shown her and trying to encourage other women to grasp these truths from God's word. And I want to mention really quick, Jenny is coming out with basically, it's going to be video. It's kind of, go ahead and you explain it, because you're, if you're good, yeah. you're better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's funny because I rot at explaining this, but so it's going to be a 7-day free course that has taken me, I'm going to say about 50 years to finish. I'm only 38. Am I 38? I can't ever remember. Anyway, it has taken me so long to get done. And so I'm very, very close to the finish line. And we're almost done editing it. And very soon, this podcast is airing on a Tuesday. By Tuesday, I do believe that there will be at least an intro video with a link attached to the end where you can enroll in the, as soon as the course comes out. And so it's going to be a 7-day course explaining, a book that God used to transform my thinking called Love Focused by Bob and Judy Hughes, most transformational book outside of the Word of God that I've ever read.
I've read the book. It's fantastic.
So good. It changed my life. And I mean, by sitting there and just, being determined to understand it, because I was, it helped me so much. I coupled that with an evangelism tool called the Three Circles. And anyway, it's a counseling model, but it's a way to counsel yourself. And it's a way to apply the gospel to your hard stuff. So it is called Victory Laps, fighting from victory instead of for victory. And it's going to be available very, very soon. So the best way to make sure that you are able to access this course is to just friend me on Facebook, which is just Jenny Lohman. And I really believe that the Lord will use that course to just be an encouragement, as it has been to me. He's worked in my life through the working on it. So
yeah. Well, thank you again, Jenny, for being on the podcast. And those
it was such a joy.
Oh, good. Good. And Jenny, I really truly believe that God is going to use this in so many people's lives. He's already using it constantly in my life. And I'm just so thankful for the gospel truth that we do have.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in to episode 12 today. I hope you were encouraged as much as I was. And if you feel that this podcast or this particular episode would be a blessing to someone, please share it today. Also, if you haven't already subscribed, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And I will see you next time on the I Can Relate podcast.